Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. As we got another good show on hand, talking basketball tonight. Alongside is Matt Trenton. And Matt, we got a lot of things to talk about basketball-wise, coming off a streak where they had four games in about a week or so there, and a couple of those on the road. Did well on the road, and then they get back after a week off this week, back home on Saturday afternoon to face Missouri Western, a big rivalry there. So it really shapes up to be a good Saturday, but we need to talk a little bit about the trip the basketball teams took to Emporia and Washburn, and on the mid side coming away with wins, and on the women's side a little bit short against Washburn but and Emporia State, but they really played well, I think, especially in that Emporia State game.
Yeah, and I think you know, you're right there from the start that that's a tough stretch there from January 4th all the way through January 11th. The Bearcats with four games, two at home, two on the road, and both teams able to take care of business against Northeastern and Rogers and build some momentum here early in 2020. And, you know, on the women's side, going into Emporia State, the 16th-ranked team in the country and a team that likes the pressure and play that zone of the Bearcats, played well, just a 79-66 loss. Just couldn't hit a couple shots there down the stretch as Emporia got hot. But Northwest overall went into a really tough place to play at White Auditorium and played well. Just couldn't quite pull that one out. Then coming back around again on Saturday, the Bearcats are without their leading scorer, Kendi Eaton, a 59-43 defeat to a team that's, you know, Washburn's, you know, hovering right around 500. But those losses are to some really good basketball teams. And obviously, Coach Ron McHenry's done some great things in the last 20 years there with the Ichabod. So you knew that would be a tough test. So those one just kind of wipe off the board, and the Bearcats had a week to kind of catch their breath, get rested up, and get ready for another one coming around for the rivalry game against Missouri Western. And then, you know, on the men's side, the Bearcats just continue to churn out victories with, as you saw, an emotional one against Emporia State, then another tough fought win in Topeka.
Yeah, really physical games. Came off, I think, really a strong week of just physical basketball. Not only the two games on the road, but had Northeastern State and Rogers State come in, and it looked like the game plan for all these teams was to see if, how physical they could play and hopefully put a dent into the Bearcats. And Northwest really performed well and matched that physicality.
Yeah, and when you had Coach Mack on, of course, post game, and he talked about how Northwest gets everybody's best shot, and you really did see that. That was, you know, Washburn came out and knocked down some big shots and got some guys coming off the bench that really hadn't done much all season long, but played some of their best games of the year. And same thing against Emporia that prior game, but Northwest did enough down the stretch, and, you know, even with only, you know, five shot attempts out of Trevor Hudges, the Bearcats still put up enough offensively in Topeka, and, you know, we see Ryan Hawkins continued to build on a good start. And I think what's really key for Northwest men too is seeing Wes Dreamer and Luke Waters put in a lot of minutes in those four basketball games, but showing the ability to step out there, get some of the best the MIAA has to offer, and to step up and play when it matters most.
Yeah, and that's got to help as the season goes along, I think, where they're getting some strong minutes against some very good teams early in the year, and then as Ryan Welty gets back into the lineup, where the minutes might not be quite as much there for Waters and Dreamer, but they've had that experience, and when they'll be called on later in the season as well, that's really got to pay off for them.
Yeah, that's only going to benefit down the road, especially as we get closer to March and see these guys go through the grind of the MIAA tournament and the NCAA tournament after that. As much as you don't want to see Ryan Welty, you know, miss those three, four games, whatever that stretch, after getting banged up there against, what was it, was that Northeastern that he took that elbow to the eye?
Rogers.
After missing those two after that on the road, and then having this entire week to prepare for Missouri Western, that's a guy that can step out and defend, and he's a great shooter. How much does this benefit him, just having a couple weeks to sit back and rest and really get his legs back under him, because he's going to be playing a lot of minutes down the stretch?
And the individual honors continue to come in as the Bevo Francis finalists were announced, the top 100 on that, and the Bearcats have three players in that top 100, a special honor that three different Bearcats being listed as a part of that.
Yeah, and I had to reach out to John McCarthy with Small College Basketball just to confirm, but the only school in the country with three players on the Bevo Francis watch list, which goes to the best small college basketball player in the country, so anybody from D2, D3, NAIA, D2 CCAA and NCCAA. There's a whole lot of players that you have to sift through, and a whole lot of great players throughout the country. So for Northwest Missouri State to be able to come out with a trio of guys that are capable of being on that list, and, you know, you look at what all three are doing with Bernard at 15 points per game and Trevor at 18 points per game, and Ryan Hawk is leading the MIAA with nearly 24 points per contest. You're seeing a lot of quality minutes out of those guys offensively, but they play such great defense. They bring the intangibles to the floor, and really are great leaders, to where if one or two are off, the other one can step up and play and knock down some shots and find ways to get the ball into the hands of guys like Welty and some of these other shooters.
Well, as we've talked a lot about basketball, you look toward this weekend, an indoor track and field team. They're in action, hopefully, if weather cooperates for them to get to the Graduate Classic taking place up in Lincoln, Nebraska, and a good opportunity for the Northwest indoor track and field teams to get back in action after the long Christmas break.
Well, that's the benefit of the indoor track and field season. You're running in January and February. You should be able to get all these meets in unless the weather hampers with their travel. So hopefully the Bearcats can still hop on the bus and make that trip to Lincoln for the Graduate Classic and be able to compete and get their legs back under them. But it's been about a month since they were able to compete here in the Mel Churchman Classic at the Hughes Fieldhouse here on campus. So, you know, Northwest, I know those athletes are itching to get back in there and to compete once again. So, weather permitting, hoping to see them compete. But again, kind of don't want to mess with Mother Nature at the same time.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And Northwest women's tennis team, ranked 23rd nationally in the ITA ranking. So, good honor for Coach Rosewell's women's team. Men's team also up in as far as the regional rankings go. And they get underway with things coming up at the end of the month.
Well, the magnifying glass on the men's tennis team as well, when you see what Franco Oliva did a couple years ago, and then just last season, I guess in the fall, with the doubles team as well. So the men's team's really come out and kind of stolen the spotlight. The women, though, ranked 23rd in the nation here early on, a chance to kind of make some waves here this spring. So, really, this should be a great bunch for Mark Rosewell.
Well, we got a good show tonight. We'll be concentrating on basketball the rest of the way. Not only will we be hearing from the head coaches, Austin Meyer on the women's side and Ben McCollum on the men's side, but the assistants will be here tonight. We'll get to hear a lot more from Adai Houston for the women and also Zach Schneider on the men's side. It ought to be a pretty fun show here tonight.
You know, we kind of talk a lot of basketball, but I feel that we might talk some trash with the football. Obviously, Zach Schneider's a big Kansas City Chiefs fan and got pretty lucky last Sunday, so we'll see how things go in the AFC Championship this week.
That's coming from you being a Raiders fan. I don't know if you're seeing this quite the
rest. I'm a fan of the other 31 teams at this point.
Now, I got one more question for you before we move on with the show.
Nope.
How's your right hand? You getting a little carpal tunnel from signing autographs after the great article in the Northwest Missouri?
I'm no John Coffey. I feel like we established that you're the most famous person in Maryville.
So. No, I think the most famous one might be sitting over at one of the booths over here in Mel Churchman. But,
I mean, we have Mel Churchman, Ben McCollum, and Austin Meyer all in the house tonight, so it's a pretty good cast.
And we have Jan Corley back from vacation sitting over here watching the show and following her on Facebook. It was she looked like she had a fun trip down to Disney World. So,
but it's about time, Jan.
All right, so a good show on hand tonight as we've promo to who's coming up on the show. We need to remind you too that support for the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Stooner Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Stooner Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch and dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699. We're back and have more for you from Carson Sports Grill right after this timeout on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on locations is online at nvb.com. Member FDIC. Support for today's broadcast comes from Oak Point in Maryville, an assisted living community that offers residents help with medications, meals, personal care, and more. Information on services or upcoming events is at facebook.com/Oak Point of Maryville.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Championship Motors in Maryville across from Walmart. Championship offers pre-owned late model autos and will also purchase vehicles from individuals. More at championshipmotorsllc.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Bullseye Trading in Maryville, located at 1115 East 1st Street, open 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bullseye Trading offers guns, ammo, and payday and pawn loans. For more info, 660-241-5013 or on Facebook.
Today's game is supported by State Farm Insurance agents Carrie Myers and Kevin Neal in Maryville and Nick Kodeman in St. Joe, providing life, auto, and homeowners insurance and financial services. More at 562-3882, 582-3512, or insurewithnick.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660 582-2699.
Back from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville, the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. I'm Matt Tritt, now being joined by the Northwest Missouri State Assistant Coaches. From the women's squad, we have Adai Houston. And from the men's team, we also have Zach Schneider. Guys, we appreciate you coming on and joining us. It's your guys' first Bearcat Coaches Show of the year, right?
Yep.
Maybe the first one ever.
I had a couple as a player. Yeah, I was on a couple times
big time.
As a player. But
big
yeah,
time,
it's,
right?
it's been 2 or 3 years, so.
I wasn't popular enough for that.
Well, I just don't think we had a coach's show back in the day.
Then.
It was a few years ago. So, it's brutal outside right now.
Awful.
Like, it is ridiculously cold.
Did you walk to work today?
I didn't walk to work today.
Yeah,
thanks for asking, though. I appreciate
that.
That's more
idea.
Of a game day thing on Saturdays.
Gotcha.
I'm not going to walk.
Yeah,
it's a little
that.
Bit further to Wells Hall.
I read the whole profile, so.
You didn't need to do that.
Well, I did. I felt like I needed to. I was going to probably bring it up first thing on Saturday, but I realized we're on tonight, so get out of the way now.
Yeah, that was poor scheduling on Colin's part to have you both on tonight. So, Adai, it's been a while since you've been down in Dallas, where you're from, Texas. Mm-hmm. Have you adjusted to the weather yet? I mean, is this something that you just still hate being up here?
You know what? I've gotten better, depending on, like, how cold it is. So right now, it's just too cold, period. But when I first got here, the wind and everything else that hit me when I first moved up here, I thought I was not going to make it. But since then, I've gotten used to it. So
you spent a few years in Iowa where it's worse, right?
Yeah. I've been in the Midwest now since 2004. At least in this area, bouncing back between St. Louis and Iowa and in the Midwest in general. So I haven't been back to Texas, so I'm starting to get used to it a little bit.
Yeah, you're back in the day. Zach actually walked to school uphill both ways barefoot in the winter. So, but that's Kansas for you, right?
Oh, that's Kansas. Yeah, the only way I've been able to get through it is, you know, it's going to change tomorrow. So it's probably going to be 50 tomorrow. So that's just what I tell myself when we have days like this.
I feel like you have the added benefit, though, that you just throw in a stocking cap or a ball cap, and it's just, you know, the hair is going to be ready first thing in the morning. You just throw in a cap and go.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about that at all, which is nice. Saves me 5 to 10 minutes in the morning.
You probably have to moisturize, though, because that will dry out.
I gotta put on lotion every day. That's key.
That's kind of the center of the Bearcat Coaches Show tonight, how Zach Schneider takes care of his head. But Adai Houston from the women's team and Zach Schneider from the men's basketball team, both assistant coaches, both Bearcat graduates, former players. What is it for you guys? What's the day-to-day role of being an assistant coach and helping your respective programs continue to grow?
I guess I'll take it first. But, for me, the biggest thing is I try to focus on how can I help the program, help Coach Meyer in the day-to-day situations of just moving the program in the direction that we want to go. That's the way I think about it, and we're very process-oriented with everything that we do. And so that's the way I look at it, kind of a day-to-day, just how can I help move this program in the right direction. For me, most of the things that I do, it works with the players individually, trying to get them to execute the things that Coach Meyer wants on the floor and making sure that we're doing that to the best of our ability. So that's the things that I try to focus on day in and day out.
Yeah, what I've tried to do this second year as I've kind of fit into the role a little more is I that first year I kind of figured out what stresses out Mac the most.
What is it that stresses out Mac the most?
Well, right now he's strictly watching film 8 to 9 hours a day. So I know he's not doing any of the other things such as recruiting, you know, getting shots with our players like he does in the off season. And those two things that I just mentioned probably stress him out the most. Are we going to have players for next year, 2021, 2022? So I'd say that's probably my number one goal right now is just adding players to that list, making sure we're keeping in contact with the guys that we've already offered, just staying on top of all that. And then, like I said, just basically day-to-day operations like scheduling hotels, getting our players shots, scheduling our gyms. Probably just focus on what stresses Mac the most is the biggest thing and taking that stuff off his plate.
If he's watching that much tape every day, is he doing the scout for essentially every team down the road, or is it watching mainly Northwest tape?
Yeah, it's probably 25% our tape, just making sure that we're obviously continuing to improve and making sure that we're doing the right things every day. And then obviously he's watching a ton of our opponent's film, trying to get us ready. Basically what we kind of got into the rhythm do with scouts is he'll take the first game. He always does the Thursday scout, and that's basically all him. I obviously have that time just to focus on other things that I mentioned, recruiting, getting our players shots. And then at the same time, I'm also working on Saturdays. So we're pretty up to speed when we have to practice and focus on the next opponent on Friday. But I also have that whole week to get other things done. And then that's kind of the rhythm we got into, and it's worked out pretty well.
Dye, from your standpoint, prior to this, obviously you were a GA under Gene Steinmeier here at Northwest Missouri State. You're head coach up at Southwestern Community College up in Iowa for a few years as well. You've had that head coaching side, now being back at Northwest as an assistant. What is the difference in the relationship between a head coach and their players and the assistant coach and the players? Is there any difference? Do you push certain buttons a little bit differently?
There's a big difference. Being in that head coaching role, there's different things that come up, and it's their decision. And I've been in that position before where you're the head coach, and then it's like every small minor detail, like, it's your decision. And so your decision affects everything that trickles down through the program. So it's a huge difference. And for me, having the opportunity to take a step back in that sense and not have to make some of those decisions, but more importantly, just support them. And then at the same time, question them in a positive way, obviously, so that we can stay focused on the goals and the process. It's a different role to take on, but it's one that I'm really enjoying right now, especially working with Meyer and the relationship and the history that we have. It's fun. It's exciting.
Zach, do you see it second year as an assistant coach prior to that GA? Is it a little bit easier to kind of separate yourself to where you're not a player and you're kind of sitting back in more of that coaching role?
Yeah, it's definitely been probably the toughest thing that I've had to deal with, becoming an assistant coach, is separating yourself from being friends with those guys. And obviously you can still have that type of relationship every now and then. But when it comes to practice, you know, there's days where you just can't be their friend, period. And that was tough. The first year, you know, I was the second GA, and I didn't really have to do a ton of hands-on coaching, so it wasn't that bad. But obviously last year when I was the only assistant coach and I had to run a drill with Tyler Doherty, Ryan Hawkins, Ryan Welty, who I played with for a year, two, 3 years, is was definitely an adjustment, and that was pretty tough. But I think this year I've gotten a lot more comfortable in that role, and I'm able to balance that where I can obviously be the back cop sometimes, and then other times I can be our kind of go back to that when we were playing with each other and be their friend at the same time.
So we have Zach Schneider, assistant coach of the men's basketball team, and Adai Houston from the women's basketball squad. And so, Adai, you graduated with Austin. You guys are teammates, players, friends. Zach, a different relationship there with Mac to where you're actually playing for him. I'm curious, each of your dynamics, the relationship between a head coach and assistant coach, and how that grows over the years, with Zach going straight from that role, but to also Adai, you're just past the... You guys are buddies.
Yeah. No, and that's what I mentioned earlier, too. So part of it is just fun. It's really exciting to kind of work with him in that sense. But I think we enjoy it, too, because we have a relationship where, I mean, he cracks jokes on me all the time. And sometimes it's in the middle of practice and the girls get a kick out of it. And sometimes I'll get him back and I'll say something. And so we're shooting jokes at each other. We have that relationship. And every now and then I get bold enough to try to tell him to do something too, because I just feel like, oh, you know what, I can say this real quick, and because it's part of that relationship that we do have. But at the same time, though, I understand too the role that I'm in and what we're trying to accomplish. So it's really, really easy to work for him, and I've said this before, but it's almost like I don't really feel like I work for him, just because of that relationship. But I understand that balance and what we're trying to accomplish, so it makes it easy for me.
I feel like, was it last summer that you guys were going out on a recruiting trip when we saw a picture from the front seat you guys tweeted out? And I have to imagine just being a fly on the wall in that car.
He kills me with those. Every time, he always catches me at the right moment. Like, I'm stretching in a car, and he's like, yeah, the 5'6 guy has to get out and stretch. Like, like I got all of the leg room, but I do have bad knees, so I got to get out and stretch.
Bad knees, but when you step out, you do a flip for us in white, too.
I felt like that you was going to bring that up, but
I couldn't not bring it up, right? Have you done one since?
After I did that, the people were asking me, like, when was the last time you did that? And I had to think back on it, and it has to be at least 12 to 15 years, probably, since I did that.
That's pretty impressive. You just pull it out of the bag 12 to 15 years later. Did you stretch it all?
You know what? I did, and I think the hula dance warmed me up a little bit. But besides that, though, the only thing I joked around with this, too, I give credit to our strength and conditioning coaches and athletic training staff, Kelly and Joe. Like, I've been in the training room doing some rehab at certain points. We do team jack with Joe, and we try to stay in shape. So I kind of give them credit a little bit for being able to just stay in shape to where I felt confident enough to do that. Because if I can tell you this right now, if I was at Southwestern Community College, living in the dorm, hanging out, eating too much food, I probably would have broke my back trying to do that.
You do have that 7-day rehab sheet that Kelly has completely. Like, he has a different thing every day: lift weights, ice, treat stem and ice. It's
a reminder. It's a reminder on my in my office wall. Just like, hey, you got to do some of this stuff, like, or you're gonna fall apart.
So when Austin's up talking to the team in the locker room and like getting onto players for not getting into rehab or getting in there, he's like, "And you too, a die."
Yeah,
I've seen him in the locker room for a while.
He might have to stay on me a little bit for it.
Zach, from your perspective, what's that like working with Ben and kind of going from playing for him and a subordinate role, really, which I guess you're still working for him, but kind of more that peer role now?
No, I felt like my junior and senior year, I basically, and not to brag by any means, but became a coach out on the court. I was just so aware of what he wanted, what Meyer wanted on the court, that I was able to kind of have that relationship with him, which made it a lot easier to step in that graduate assistant role and then obviously full-time assistant. So we've obviously grown a lot closer over the last couple of years, especially last year when the first semester, and it was just me and him. Like, we were running the program by ourselves, and obviously we have a lot of great help with Xavier Kurth and Dre Starzl now, but yeah, I think it's just progressed throughout the years, and I remember my senior year where I was super comfortable with him at that point, and there was one time in the national championship game actually where he was getting on Woods for something, and I actually stepped in, and I think I yelled back at Mac and told him, like, no, this is actually how it's going. So, like I said, I've been really comfortable with him from the start, and it just shows how good of a coach he is and how he relates to different people.
Well, Bryson had an opportunity he couldn't turn down, obviously.
Yeah.
A few nerves right there whenever he leaves and there's a little bit more responsibility for you?
Yeah, it was kind of a mess of a first semester, honestly. I mean, obviously we didn't lose any games, which is the most important thing, but definitely a lot thrown on my plate that I wasn't expected to have, and that created a little bit of stress. But, I mean, that's just one of those things where in the moment you feel terrible about it. Not terrible, but I was obviously stressed about a bunch of different things that I'd never done before. But this year, it was basically just on cruise control because I was thrown into the fire essentially and just had to figure out how to do things by myself and not really a lot of people to bounce ideas off of. Obviously, it helped having Xavier Kurth come back second semester, but this year everything's been completely easier just knowing that I've already been through it once, basically doing all the little things all on my own.
For both of you guys, and you both work with head coaches that are a little bit different styles, what is the role of the assistant coach when dealing with some officials that maybe have missed a couple calls? You guys have to step in occasionally or hold the head coach back?
I don't know that I've ever had to hold Meyer back much. Every now and then, the one thing I had to talk to him about, if I had any experience, like advice to give him as a head coach, was he didn't know where the coach's box was. I think the first game, he was at half court, almost about to cross the line. I was like, you got to get back. But no, outside of that, though, like, I mean, he's figured so much out in the short time that he's been a head coach, and just the personality that he has and just being able to relate and get along with everybody in that sense is just phenomenal, in my opinion. And so I've learned a great deal from him just from being around him in that sense.
Yeah, I think when it comes to the refs in my role, I don't deal with them at all. Obviously, Max in his 11th year in the league, and all these refs have been in the league for about that long as well. So they all have great respect for him, and he has great respect for them, and he knows exactly how to toe that line. So, I mean, there's times where basically my main focus with the refs is making sure our players don't talk to them, because that gets a ton of respect from the refs if your players just move on. So that's the main thing, is just reminding them, hey, Max got your back. Don't deal with them. It's all going to work out.
Yeah. I got to throw one more thing in there that I forgot about, because I think I was a little bit more animated than than Meyer on talking to the ref. So I had to actually take a step back because I think every time they would miss a call, I'm yelling, travel, two hands, something that I actually had to stop doing. In that first year, I was bad at that. I'm not going to lie about that. But that second year, it's gotten better. I still don't like it. Sometimes every now and then I say something. But
well, I was going to say, were there any times where Meyer or Mac kind of looks at you guys and says, just back off just a little bit for me tonight?
I don't think Meyer has to, but the official did.
Zach, surely at some point you've said something that...
I really don't talk to the refs at all. I mean, basically the one instance we've had this year was Rogers State and our bench. It wasn't me. I think it was one of our graduate assistants or managers maybe was getting a little too animated with them, and they have to come over, and obviously the bench control, where they're always waving us to sit down, and I think it's kind of a BS role, but they came over and explained it to us, and the guy was like, he basically said, I don't care about this at all, but when I'm getting reviewed by our league and the top official, they look at this, so I have to control it. And that with me, that open line of communication of why they care about it definitely helped in that situation.
We have Zach Schneider and Adai Houston with us this evening, assistant coaches for the men's and women's basketball teams. You guys have both worked under some really, really good head coaches here at Northwest Missouri State, with Adai starting out, playing for Steve Tatmeyer, then working with Gene Steinmeyer to start things out. Now, of course, Austin Meyer's the head coach, and then Zach, your full career being with Ben McCollum. What's it like to have some of these coaching mentors, and for you, Adai, when you look at Tapp and Stein, and then for Zach with working with Coach Mack, how important is that to have a guy like that is so established that can kind of lead you through?
Yeah, it's been very important. The other part I'd add to that, too, before I dive into that, is that Mack was my GA when I was here and I started out. And so I had this eligibility situation where I had too many years going in, and so I had to just sit a semester. So he worked with me individually off the floor because I had to be separated from the team. And so I got a lot of experience just working with him, and some of that same thing, the way he is right now, I reflect and see that when he was a grad assistant, just his urgency to make you better and the personality and all of those things. So that was instrumental too in some of my development. But then being with Coach Tapp, obviously one of the greatest coaches that we've had at Northwest, and just his passion for defense and having a good team and being together, all of those things trickled down with me that I tried to carry into the head coaching experience that I had. And then obviously working with Gene Steinmeyer too, it was kind of best of both worlds in a sense, because Tapp was one of the best defensive coaches, and then Stein was credited a lot with being one of the good offensive minded coaches around in the game. And so to learn some things from him that I've still carried into what I do today, from both of those coaches, or all three of them, honestly, is been tremendous.
Yeah, it's been massive for my career. You know, it's one thing that I think a lot of people would kill to be in my position, and I make sure I take advantage of that every day, obviously not taking it for granted, where, you know, obviously little tidbits, just ways he motivates different players, X's and O's, adding something new every day and making sure I take notes on that, and just saving it for a future when I'm ready to be a head coach. And then also, obviously, the 1 year that I worked under Meyer as an assistant when I was a GA, just his demeanor and the way he interacts with players, interacts with Mac, has been huge for my career.
So with those guys in mind, so many great wins in games you've been a part of, but I feel like there have to be plenty of stories that you reflect on, more on the humorous side, especially Adai, you've had a few more years of experience with these guys. We'll let you go first and let you kind of stew on that one, Zach, but a good Stein or Tapp story you can throw out there.
Oh, man. That's putting me on the spot real quick.
I feel like with Stein, you have to have a laundry list, right?
Well, you do. Stein was really good at is Stein could tell a ton of stories. Both of them could, him and Tapp. But I think the thing with Stein is that it's actually most impressive. I don't know if it's that funny, but the time that I've known him, I really can't sit here and recall a time when I've heard the exact same story again. Because Stein just has so many random stories. And the thing that always gets me is that when I do sit down and talk with him, he will. You talk about somebody who would just almost jump off track. You may be talking about one thing, and then all of a sudden he was like, you know, I know this guy, and he's from Claytonia, Nebraska, or somewhere. I mean, you've never even heard of the place, and he's been there. And then he starts talking about this random guy and this person, and then when it comes full circle, it ends up being a person that impacted something around Northwest or maybe something significant, and you're like, okay, like, where did we just go? But he does a great job, honestly, of telling the stories, though. He keeps you engaged. But with Meyer, there's probably quite a few stories I can tell, but I'm probably not going to throw him under the bus. On air, maybe.
You probably should keep those to yourself.
Yeah, I might want to keep those. I'm trying to keep my job. So
we'll wait for those later.
We'll wait for those a little later. Tap was just kind of on the other end of that. The funniest story for me with Tap has nothing to do with what he did when he was coaching me. I have a few of those too, but Tap was such a tough coach that it's almost mind-boggling for me to look at him now and watch him go through the process of coaching. He coached women, and then when I see him interact with Meyer's daughter, I'm like, who is this guy? Who is this guy? Because I don't know who that is, because my experience with him is this coach getting after you defensively, you know, wanting you to give everything you got, run through a wall, and then all of a sudden he's like, oh, look at her cute little feet. He's just this big soft guy. I'm like, who is this? So that's the most impressive thing about Tap, is just seeing him after at the aftermath, I guess, of him and his experience and coming full circle, just, you know, living life.
Knows when to turn that intensity on and off.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does.
Zach, what do you got on Mac?
Man, that's a tough one. I mean, if we're going for laugh out loud stories, I really can't come up with one off the top of my head that would be PG right now. So you might have to come back on Saturday and ask me. Same with Meyer. I really can't think of one that would be suited for radio that you guys would enjoy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some plain old stories I can give you, but that you would enjoy, I probably got to.
We'll put those on ice. Come back on Saturday.
I got a short one for Tap if you got time.
Yeah.
Well, we had practice, and one of the players was sick, and so during our pre-practice warm up, this guy, he's coughing the entire practice, like just coughing, can't stop it, and so we huddle up right after we go through that 10-minute little warm up. And Tap goes on about something, and then all of a sudden he just blank stops, and then he looks at the guy who's been coughing. He was like, yeah. He was like, yeah, Vic, and let everybody know you got a cough. that's the PG version of it. But from that, nobody else would ever try to cough in practice. If we did, we were gonna turn our backs, tuck our face in our jersey and try to cough where he can't hear it, because we were afraid to cough at that point.
That's when you have control of a team right there.
Yeah, you do.
All right, guys, we'll wrap things up, because I think they got to get a few more people on here too. But before we let you go, best basketball player you've seen at your time at Northwest Missouri State?
That we played against?
Played or with at Northwest. Oh, or watched, coached.
Probably that I played with, Justin Pitts, obviously, and then trying to think of against. Well, we've had two 45-plus point games dropped on us. We won both games, but I would go Anthony Verdure at Lincoln, score 50 on us, and Jason Jim. I think we won by double digits still. And then Corey Aronson from Lindenwood was probably the most ridiculous performance that I've seen. I think he had 46 at Northwest after we had lost to him earlier in the year. And he had the last shot down two, and everybody thought it was going in, but thankfully he missed it, and we ended up winning.
Yeah. The player that I think about that we went up against was when Southwest Baptist was really good in that year, in my senior year, was Sheldon Pace. He was a point guard. He ended up, I can't remember the name of the award for that year, but he ended up winning like the point guard award for that season. So he was really good. He was just always tough competitor to go against. Did a really good job of getting everybody involved. So he was somebody that I had some battles with. I would say I got the best of him. Well, I shouldn't say me. I say our team, because we were three out of there. I think we had their only three losses that year. So that was pretty good for us. But maybe around Northwest program, I'd probably have to say for me, Kelvin Parker. Just I got a chance to, before I came to Northwest, I got a chance to watch him in Texas, because that's where I was from. And then we went up to their game when they played in the regional there, I think, to go to the Elite Eight. And so I got a chance to see him, and that kind of sealed the deal for me in terms of coming to Northwest, just getting the chance to watch him and knowing the player that he was.
Kelvin, M Club Hall of Famer, and Justin, I'm sure probably will be pretty shortly.
Yeah, should be.
All right, guys, we appreciate the time. Sorry we took up so much of your time. Probably keep you around for one more segment, though, if you're up for it today.
I think so.
All right, we're going to take a quick timeout. Zach, we appreciate the time, and we might have you back later with Ben, too,
yep,
if that works.
Thanks for having me, man.
We'll take a timeout. Be back with more on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from U.S. Bank, providing banking services to Northwest students and the community. U.S. Bank is a proud supporter of Bearcat Athletics and Northwest Missouri State University. More on their products, services, and locations is at usbank.com.
Support for today's game comes from Heinlein Home Furnishings on South Main in Maryville. Locally owned and operated, Heinlein has been in business for more than 50 years, offering mattresses and furniture from Ashley, Lazy Boy, England, Serta, and more. More information at HeinleinHomeFurnishings.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating more than 50 years in business, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. More at 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from United Electric Cooperative, who is committed to serving Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa residents with reliable and affordable power. For all electrical services, UECI.coop.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering locksmithing, lock installation, repairs, rekeying, and high security master key system setup and maintenance. More at 660-582-3131 or at MarylandGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
Back in Carson Sports Grill, a KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show, talking Northwest Missouri State women's basketball. We have head coach Austin Meyer joining us, Adai Houston sticking around for another segment, the assistant coach for the women's basketball team. And we kind of put Adai through the ringer last segment, so Austin, we'll start with you with this one. But what's the relationship been like, you guys growing at your relationship from a head coach, assistant coach, after being friends and teammates back in the early 2000s?
Yeah, life's a little different than it was back in college.
Just a little bit, yeah.
So, but no, it's been great to have him back here, and just how hard he works and what he does for the program day in and day out. It's been awesome.
When you get the head coaching job, to get your assistant, is Adai your first call? What was that process like of getting him on the phone and making that offer?
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, that was number one in my mind, so it was, pretty quick. He got the phone call, and he was pretty excited, and so I felt like he was going to come. So, you know, that was the first recruit, and he ended up showing up, so that was good.
No pressure, Adai, but a couple years later, you can tell us the truth. Were you on the fence?
No. No, I think I had to play it like I was kind of on the fence, but no, not at
you
all.
You
like,
negotiate the money.
Yeah, I said, no negotiation here. It's just a yes or no question.
No, but once I got the call, though, I was overwhelmed with it, and just knowing that, yeah, this is what I want to do, and it's no question about it, to go and help him be successful in the position moving as a head coach. Like, there was nothing else that I wanted to do.
Obviously, to have chemistry on the floor, you guys have to be on the same page and kind of know what you're thinking at all times. How's that relationship grow as coaches on the bench together from year one to year two?
Yeah, I think going in, you know, I think we both have our individual strengths. You know, he's great with player development. He's great with the teaching part. I think we both work extremely hard from a recruiting standpoint. And just about communicating with everybody, whether it be players within our program, recruits. But it works out well, you know. Right now, in season, you know, he's in the gym. He was in the gym all day today, getting our kids better. And then I'm usually in the office watching film and trying to prepare the next scout. And then, you know, he's also working on the scout for the following game as well. So I think we work well. We both have our strengths, and we try to, you know, play to those just like we would tell our players.
You guys have had plenty of time to kind of go off and kind of make your own careers and kind of peel away from it. But if someone were to go in and see a Coach Tatmeyer practice back in 2004, 2005, 2006, how similar is it to what we're seeing today for your women's team?
I think it's pretty similar. I mean, the energy, you know, the things that he preached, what we preached on the men's side. I mean, you probably won't see a coffee mug go flying around the bleachers, but there's a lot of things that he instilled in us. And, you know, he's a great coach. You know, the discipline stuff, you know, I hardly ever use an alarm to get up in the morning, because I remember those morning practices where you knew you couldn't be late, so you woke up 12 times before your alarm went off anyways, because you knew if you showed up late, there was going to be some problems. So he kind of instilled that, being there early, being on time, you know, cheering your teammates on. When adversity hits, are you sitting there? If you're quiet, you're thinking about yourself. If you're helping a teammate out, you know, you're not thinking, you're getting outside of yourself. You're making your team better. You're making somebody else better. So, you know, I think we're pretty similar. You know, obviously the game's evolved to a certain extent from where it was, you know, maybe 10, 12 years ago. But, you know, a lot of stuff that we do is similar to back then.
Will we get the floor slap back?
Well, we did it, and I think in Mac's first year, and I think the team went on like a 6-0 run, and we never did it again. That was when I got retired.
It's a new team. You got to try it.
Yeah,
with this team,
yeah,
right?
Maybe we should.
What is there been any talk of a towel on the sideline?
Not really. I don't think so. That was that was always fun to see Coach Tapp. You wondered sometime if he was going to whip you with it, but it was always fun to see him out there with that. And I don't think you'll see it on our end.
This weekend, you guys are getting set to take on Missouri Western. You played in the rivalry quite a bit on the men's side, now coaching on the women's side, and got that experience last year. But is this a fun one from your guys' perspective to get together with the Griffins?
Yeah, it always is. Just going back to our days as players and competing against them and knowing what that rivalry is about. And it's always fun going into it. I was saying to our players warming up today, I was like, just for the newcomers, I said, think about that rival you had in high school. I said, now amp that up 10 times more. So it's just trying to get them in the mode of, you know, this is one of those games, and you have to be excited about it.
Yeah, we're definitely excited. I know our players are, and we have some St. Joe kids. You know, I don't pay attention much to the guy side of it anymore, so I don't really know how good they are, but I do know their women's team's really good. You know, they're, I think, 12-3 right now, really good front line. You know, they're playing at a high level, so it's going to be a big challenge for us, but I think it's one we're excited about.
The crowds at Bearcat Arena have been great so far this season. You know, they'll bring up a lot of fans from St. Joseph. That just kind of adds to the intensity of that matchup, having a full house like that too, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, one thing that we sell to recruits in the off-season stuff is, you know, a lot of times people come at halftime or come for the men's game, and we're trying to get it to where they want to be there right away for the women's game. And I think we're generating some more excitement. We're a long way from where we want to be, but I think we're definitely going the right direction. So, yeah, our crowds are great. They come. I think back to that men's game over Christmas break, when walked out of the office and I thought, you know, there'd probably be a few hundred people there, and it was, you know, I mean, it was damn near full of Bearcat fans. So we just got great support, and it's what makes it easy from a recruiting standpoint when you're selling to kids. You show them pictures of the full arena, you take them to a football game. It just sells itself.
Is there a top moment from your playing days against Missouri Western that sticks in your mind?
We were just talking about it before we got back on, but nothing really just stands out to me, but I don't think we lost to him in those 2 years where I was here. Now, for him, I know he was here for 4 years. I was a transfer, but the 2 years I was here, I'm pretty sure we didn't lose to him, and then we beat him in the – I think the only thing that was really stands out was we beat him in the MIAA tournament too, in our senior year, and so that was always fun to send them back home.
I don't have a very good memory, so I can't remember what I did 2 days ago, but since they were VHS tapes and they're probably all destroyed, I had a reverse 360 dunk in one of those games.
Ooh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Anybody that watched me knows that's not the case.
I think I threw you the lead pass for that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The stories always get better the older you get, when you know there's less film. You get better every year.
Well, you know, we have Tom Smith does the Missouri Western Radio, so we listen to those games. We kind of find that out that those stories do grow a little bit every year. So
yeah, and Tom always, anywhere we go, recruiting, when I was recruiting with the men's side, it was always, every time I saw him, it was, how did you get such a good-looking wife? every time.
Well, at least
it's
true.
Yeah, but I just told her she can only half blind, I guess. So, you know.
Did you say the same thing about Patsy then Wink?
I did a couple times. Yeah, yeah.
Probably good. Austin, Adai, we appreciate you guys' time. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks. Adai Houston and Austin Meyer, Northwest Missouri State assistant and head coach, joining us here on the KXEV Bearcat Coaches Show. We will take a timeout. John Coffey will be back with head coach Ben McCollum here on the Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Bearcat Lumber on East 1st Street in Maryville, providing windows, roofing, siding, and doors for new home construction, as well as materials and plans for outbuilding, shops, and garages. More on Bearcat Lumber Services at 660-562-0300.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by the City of Maryville, home to Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. The park offers residents and visitors camping facilities for tents and RVs, as well as lakeside cabin rentals. More information on camping and lodging is at MazingoLake.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Maryville Shelter Insurance agent Brad Ford, a proud supporter of the Bearcats. Brad provides coverage for auto, home, life, and business, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance reviews. More at 562-2911 or in office at 102 North Buchanan.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Nottoway Valley Bank. NVB has been serving generations of Northwest Missouri families for more than 150 years. More information on locations is online at nvb.com. Member FDIC.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by the Monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries within the Abbey Guest Center, Conception Seminary College, and the Printery House. More at conceptionabbey.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. We're broadcasting live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Joined now by the head coach of the Bearcat men's basketball team, Ben McCollum. And Ben, a little bit of time off this week. Has to feel a little bit good after such a long week last week with a couple games on the road, as well as start things off at home. So I imagine you have to kind of enjoy this week a bit.
Yeah, it was good for our kids to get a week off just from games and the preparation that goes into it. That we gave them 2 days off, Sunday, Monday, and then came back and practiced. Had a really good practice on Tuesday. Had a horrendous practice on Wednesday. Had another good practice today. So we're 66% at this point. That's pretty good if you're shooting threes, but we need to get that to about 100% clip. So we're a work in progress, and I'm trying to find different ways, and we're trying to find different ways to get them going consistently, and we're trying to be as good as we can as coaches, and they're obviously trying as hard as they can as players, and we're going to hopefully get this thing going in the right direction.
It really seems like the past maybe three or four games are going up against some teams that have been really physical. Is that just the nature of the teams you're playing, or was this just looking like it might be a strategy that some teams think that might be successful with right now when they come in and play?
Yeah, that's the strategy. Yeah, I mean, that's what it is, I would guess. If you're physical, they can't call everything, and so if you get physical with us, that hurts our drives. When we don't drive, we don't get kick-out threes. If we don't get kick-out threes, then obviously you can collapse down on the paint, and so I think that's probably some of it. I think the other part of that is guys are really playing hard against us to where, you know, they want to beat us. And that's their number one objective, is to beat Northwest Missouri State. And they put a lot of eggs in that basket. And, fortunately for us, it'll help us later in the season as we progress to improve and I guess get exposed in a lot of different ways. And late in the season, hopefully we can continue to grow and get better and use those games to the best or for our future, I guess.
And really, it appears that you've been able to react to that well, and the team's played with and made the plays you need to make in a physical game like you've seen here in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, our kids, and that's what, one of the better compliments that we get is our kids stay very poised. They stay pretty even keel. Obviously, they play with some emotion, where they get excited, and that's important. But they don't get too high, too low, and that's hard for that age, and that's hard for the amount of success that they've had. And if you want to be a champion, though, and you want to accomplish some of the goals that we have out there, then you know you need to make sure that you keep that even keel and those type of things don't bother you.
Now, coming up Saturday, it's Missouri Western, and I think that's a game that the fans really look forward to every year, a game or two when you match up with them. But from a coaching standpoint and a player standpoint, just talk about, is this, you look at this more as just another game, even though the fans kind of get rallied up for this type of game?
I think the players get a little more excited for this kind of game. I guess I don't. I don't know. It is what it is. You know, it's another game, and I hope that we've improved this week, and I hope that with that game we can improve, and hopefully we can get another win and on through. So I think when you do that, I think that's what teams do to us. And when you see teams that they perform at this level against us, but then they get beat by this team, what I'd call that is front running, and that's not what we like to do. We like to stay very process focused and day by day, and see if we can get a little bit better. And you know, all the boring stuff that they just want. Some days they just look at me like, okay, just stop, coach. So I don't know. I'm just so process focused that I don't necessarily think it's a bigger game now.
All right. Again, we're talking with Ben McCollum, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State men's basketball team. We'll be back and have more for you from Carson's right after this timeout on the KXEV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Carpet Plus Bargain Barn on North Highway 71 in Maryville, providing carpet for Mohawk and Shaw, as well as hardwood flooring, tile, laminate, and vinyl. Carpet Plus provides estimates and arranges installation. More at carpetplus.com.
Today's game is being underwritten by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Baumley Auto Sales. Bearcat alumnus Joe Baumley has been providing late model program vehicles and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs since 1983. More at BaumleyAuto.com or on the lot at the 5 Mile Corner south of Maryville. Support for today's game comes from Compass Dental Group. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler are proud supporters of Bearcat Athletics and the quality culture that is Northwest Missouri State University. More information on the Compass Dental Group is online at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from SureGrow Plant Food Company in Forest City. Locally owned and operated, SureGrow's provided the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies since 1951. More information on SureGrow products and services at 660-446-3376.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Carson's Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square. Carson's is open for lunch or dinner and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More at 660-582-2699.
And welcome back to the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show as we continue on with the head coach of the Bearcats, Ben McCollum, and Zach Snyder, his assistant, joining us for this segment. And Ben, I guess the first question I have concerning Zach bringing him as an assistant, how much of a factor in the hiring of him dealt with his X's and O's and coaching ability, or how much of a factor you bring a little height to the noon ball here with Zach out there?
The noon ball addition, especially since Coach Meyer randomly picks the team every day. So it's a very random thing, and it's really weird. Coach Meyer comes in he'll kind of look around the gym and I'm just going to randomly pick these today. Zach, Coach Mack, Andy Peterson, and then he just picks somebody else, and it's like, wow, that was pretty random. Like, yeah. And it's just really random, Austin. It seems like those were the same teams as last time, and it seems like you always have Zach on your team, but strange deal.
So then do you have Colin McDonough on your team then?
He plays what we call the left out position now. He was actually on my team today. Colin's got quite the stroke.
Yeah.
He can shoot. Absolutely. He can definitely shoot. He sets a mean illegal screen. He's the king of cheap shots.
Every player's got to have a skill though, right? So that's.
Yeah. He's a good trash talker.
He's the enforcer.
Yeah. All right.
He is by far the greatest enforcer that we've seen in noon ball.
Well, let's talk just a little bit, Ben, about bringing Zach in as the coach. And some, what were some of the qualities that you saw out of Zach that you felt would come in and be a great assistant for you?
Yeah, I'm not even – see, it's weird because out of high school, I'm not sure that Zach totally was sure that he wanted to play basketball. And I don't know if you guys already discussed that or not. And then he just grew a passion for it as he was here. Started to fall in love with it even more than he probably did in high school. And then I think he graduated with a business degree, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
And then, you know, kind of came in and said, hey, I might want to be a GA. And I'm like, okay, well, that sounds pretty good. And he actually was a GA in the academic center for the first year. And then Coach Meyer switched over. And we were in the process of hiring, and he was the GA at the time, essentially. And I'm like, well, let's kind of split this, and let's hire two people. And so we were in the process of hiring two people. And if anybody's been through a hiring process with me, it doesn't always go very well.
It was brutal.
Yeah,
it was brutal.
I'm very comfortable with kind of who I'm comfortable with, and so obviously Zach being in my program and being an extremely hard worker, obviously basketball IQ, all the things needed to be a good basketball coach. We ended up not hiring another person, and then we just made Zach the assistant. So that's how it was, and now he's lost one game as an assistant. So thankfully, we got rid of Coach Meyer, and you know, started, I'm just kidding. He's not even paying attention over there. He's probably texting a recruit, but anyway, so no, I'm lucky, you know, just as a head coach, obviously with Zach, and very fortunate to have him as my assistant. I was very fortunate to have Coach Meyer. I think I'd be the first to tell you that, you know, I'm not great at a lot of things, but I've always understood that I'm not great at a lot of things. And, so I've tried to make sure that I find somebody that's better than me in a lot of aspects, and obviously Zach's better in a lot of aspects, and so was Coach Meyer and all the assistants that I've had. So, you know, they make me look good day in and day out.
Zach, at what point did you sense that the coaching might be the route you wanted to go here?
I don't think it was really until my senior year. Like Max said, once I got here, I kind of fell in love with basketball more than I liked it in high school, and I just think I didn't really know what else I wanted to do with my life, so I was like, I remember talking about it when he asked me. I was like, well, I might want to try coaching, and then it just kind of escalated from there. Obviously, I was a GA the first year, and then the position opened up the second year, and just kind of ran with it.
How has your relationship with Ben changed from being a player to now being a coach with him?
Yeah, I think it's definitely progressed, obviously, over the 3 years that I've worked for him as a coach. I was telling Matt that we had a pretty similar relationship, honestly, when I was a player, just because I felt like I was kind of his second hand on the floor, and was a coach on the floor when obviously he couldn't be out there. So maintained in that level, and then personally it just obviously progressed over the last 3 years.
And as you look at the way things have progressed, just what are some of the things you like best about what your duties are now with Mac and how you guys work together?
Yeah, I mean, I have quite a bit of freedom to do really whatever I want, honestly. I mean, he kind of trusts me and just...
Trusts or just doesn't want to do it, one of the two, but he worded it the right way. That's a good assistant.
He just trusts that I'm going to get my work done and I can do it on my own time. And for the most part, I get pretty much everything done that I need to. And I think just kind of that freedom really allows me to grow as a coach and as a person and in my career.
All right, and before you let you go, Ben, we've been talking to you a little bit about the event we've got coming up in the spring on KXCV. Might put a little pressure on you here just a bit with the 5K run, talking with you about kind of being our pace setter and having everyone else kind of run against you here, and just kind of talk about your feelings about being a little competition there on April 18th.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really a competition necessarily, because I'm just going to let everybody pass me. What's the prize?
Well, we're working on that right now.
Because I'll get my kids in there. I'll get my whole family in there, my players. We'll get a bunch of prizes. No, I'm you know, we'll go out and compete with the 5K deal, and I'll probably have to start training or like do some running or something. The cross country team's out of town. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think track's out of town that weekend, so don't have to worry about that.
I mean, I'll get beat by quite a few people. I think it'll be pretty entertaining to get beat. I, I won't take it very well. I'm not going to lie to you. I'll make jokes out of it, but it's not. I don't like to lose. So.
All right. Well, guys, thanks a lot for being with us on the show here tonight.
Thanks a lot, John.
Again, that's Zach Snyder and Ben Cohen with us on the KXCV KRNW Bearcat Coaches Show. As we wrap up the show this evening, don't forget we've got basketball coming up on Saturday afternoon, Northwest and Missouri Western out at Bearcat Arena. The women will tip off at 1:30 and the men at 3:30. We'll have the broadcast beginning at 1 o'clock. All our pregame activities from Bearcat Arena. Thanks to everyone involved with the show here tonight. Matt Trenton, along with Jacob Blair behind the scenes helping make things work. I'm John Coffey, and so long from Carson's.